In order to play with this record, you must tune your bass to ours.
Look out.
You are now listening to DJ EJ.
What will people say?
Good morning and happy Wednesday. Welcome back to the morning show. The time is now 8:08. I am your host, DJ EJ, better known as Navy Petty Officer Eloise Johnson. And if our opening song has not given it away, it is a very happy Wednesday. We've got Mr. Graves in the studio with us. Good morning, Mr. Graves. How are you?
Well, I'm doing very fine.
Juliet. You know what? We could go with that one, too. I kind of like that.
I like that. I was thinking about that on the way in this morning. I was going,
We should just call her Echo Juliet because it just sounds right.
It does. Now, okay, now here you go. Okay, what's mine?
Uh-oh.
Romeo Golf.
That's it. I thought we had agreed on.
Well, we did, but no, we're just doing
DJ
phonetic.
Honey Baked Ham.
Yeah, Honey Baked Ham. Now that's my new one. DJ Honey Baked Ham.
I think I like that one for you.
He's basted this morning, so get ready for that. But we could have the Romeo and Juliet show.
Yeah, we could.
We could. Romeo Golf.
I think
and
I like
Echo
that one.
Juliet.
But that works out
but
well.
But I do kind of like the Honey Baked Ham.
That one works too. I think it kind of works.
So you can see what kind of morning it's going to be.
That's so true. So when we come back, we are actually going to ask Mr. Graves our question of the day, I'm particularly curious about where he stands on this one.
Our question of the day,
in case you forgot, is would you rather tip for great service or should great service just be expected? So when we come back, we're going to get his take on that, and then we're going to talk all things Credo when we return. You're listening to 105.9 AFN Sigonella, the station serving you America's best. And welcome back into the morning show. In case you haven't realized, we've got Mr. Graves in the studio with us this morning. That's what makes for a happy Wednesday.
Is it really?
It really does.
I think it's caffeine.
That has a lot to do with it too, because I knocked that coffee out pretty quick.
Wow,
if you have not yet made it to Chock Full of Nuts, let me tell you, they really do take care of us. They really do. So make sure you make your way over there, grab yourself a quick cup of Joe, and then go about your day. Right.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I was a parish pastor, for many years. And in the old days, in the fellowship hall, you had this big urn, like a 55-gallon urn that you had coffee in. That's what you're drinking out of over here. I've never seen anything like that.
That's a water bottle.
Yeah, I know Marines that don't drink that much coffee. My goodness.
Well, we are back in the studio. I think we've kind of made some different DJ names for ourselves.
We have.
So I'm now DJ Dishwasher. DJ EJ. We've got DJ Honey Baked Ham in the studio.
Yeah. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving.
That's it. That's probably where that comes from.
I think it is.
It's subliminal. Yeah. And you know what? Actually, speaking of food, because I said that I really wanted to get into our question of the day, because I'm so excited about this one. So our question of the day, would you rather tip for great service or should great service be expected? Mr. Graves, what are you thinking?
Yeah, okay. This is a two-parter for me. I'm just going to say, for great service, I'll tip more.
Nice.
But see, I have a problem with the tipping thing anyway. Here in Europa, they don't do the tipping thing, because the servers get paid adequately.
Right.
Okay, I'm not going to say living wage, but people make a career out of being a server.
Sure.
And they go to school to be servers, and so they're trained to do this, and so they get compensated well. And for them, a tip is simply, if you're rounded up, and they're good with that. But, in the States, it's like people are working. All right, how much does a waitress make hourly?
Oh gosh, it probably depends on where we are.
Yeah,
because I know from San Diego, it's probably going to be a little bit more, but the cost of living is higher too.
Exactly,
mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say that they're not getting paid.
Yeah.
A lot anyway, mm-hmm. And so they depend on the tips. Okay, and I think that's very unfair.
Yeah.
Myself, I think they should be getting paid a living wage.
Agreed upon, like
everybody else, and then not have to worry about the tip thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I am not a big fan of. I do tip. I do tip, okay, and I feel like that's importante back in the States, and I know that's expected. But I'm just saying that I think that I'm not that happy.
Gotcha. You know, okay.
But yeah, back to your question. Super service. I don't mind.
Right.
I don't mind doing that. Now, if you forget my order and you forget my food, you jack everything up. No.
I definitely share that same sentiment. I actually shared earlier in our program that I always remember the places in which I've got exceptional customer service. Mm-hmm. I've also remembered the places where I've got just terrible service. I never really remember those in between. So it's always really, really great or really awful, but never just that in between. So that's actually a very interesting take. I like that one a lot.
And that's why you don't remember us having lunch together, because it's just right in the middle.
It's just right in the middle
right
there.
In the middle thing.
Sandwich right in the middle.
It's the honey baked ham. Get the honey baked ham out here. All right.
I love it. I love it. So now we're going to kind of shift gears here, talk a little bit about the Credo program. And the first one kind of catches my eye here, where we're talking about mountain meditation.
Yeah, we are. We just did one, a couple of weeks ago. Already it's been, a couple of weeks?
That is wild.
All right. And time is just whipping by here.
Yeah.
But yeah, we went up. We had a great time. The weather was nice. And again, guys, it's going to be 20 to 30 degrees cooler up there than it is down here. So dress appropriately. Don't show up in cutoffs, in a bikini or any of that stuff. Even for the forest bathing. Okay.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with swimming suits. Okay. That's just spending time
in
nature. I have to clarify that, because I have people coming up there with inflatables, and snorkeling gear and everything else. No, that's not what we're doing. It's just hanging out in nature. Okay. We give people about 30 minutes, to mill around and hug a tree and, just kind of inhale all the stuff on the mountain. And but we go up, we do, for the mountain meditation, we do a 20-minute guided meditation up there, and then we do about a 30-minute forest bathing thing. But the deal is we meet here at the, not here in the studio, but that would be nice.
That would be interesting.
Okay, that would be fine. But we meet in the parking lot here at the post office at 9 o'clock of the day of the event, and we drive up, we caravan, carpool up there, and it takes about an hour to get up there. Twisty, turny roads all the way up. And so we go up where the cable cars are. Okay, that's where we meet. And so there's a restaurant we go to, and we have a potty break, we have a coffee break, and a snack break. And that's usually about 20 or 30 minutes there.
Yeah.
And then we go down, and we do the meditation down in Etna Park, and then we do the forest bathing, and then we go back up for lunch, okay? And lunch, I like it, because the food is great, and it's a cafeteria, buffeteria style, okay, lunch. And so you don't have to order, sit down, take your order, and wait forever. But you go up, and depending, my wife and I just went up this last weekend, and it was jam-packed up there. There was not a parking space available, and buses all over. We thought, summer's over, but no, there's a million people up there. And so you go in, and the line is long, there at the restaurant. So you just got to take that into consideration. And they come and they go, because a tour bus will come in, and they'll unload, and everybody will run in, and then they'll get their food. But yeah, we do that, and then we come back. Well, but there's kiosks up there, so if you want to do a little shopping, get some souvenirs, and it's a great spot to take pictures. Okay, you get the bay, you get Catania, you get all that stuff when you can see it.
Got it.
Okay. Because it's usually hazy or cloudy. You're up above the clouds up there. And so that's really interesting. And you can almost set your watch by it, because about noonish, the clouds will start coming in over Etna. And so sometimes you're in a cloud having lunch, and that's kind of fun.
That sounds fun.
But yeah, cool up there, and sometimes it's sleeting, and it'll be snowing before much longer. And the next one we got coming up is going to be on the 19th of October.
Yeah.
And that may be the last one for the season, because we get into November and the weather's probably going to be too bad to go up there. And if you haven't been here before, or for the winter, we get snow up there. They usually get snow on Etna before we get it in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
And I find that amazing.
Yeah, it
is. Now, here's a little factoid for you.
Okay.
Denver and Catania are on the same latitude.
There's no way.
Way.
Really?
Way.
Oh, that is mind-blowing. Thank you for that.
I just saw your mind go.
I'm going to be on Google all day figuring that one out.
You will be doing that. And it is. It's amazing. But we're surrounded by the Med here. And up there, they're surrounded by very little oxygen. And so that's a big difference. Okay. But yeah. And funny, and when we first, when we were in the military, we'd be stationed in Germany.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, we're kind of like with Arkansas and all that. No, you're like way up in Canada,
you
with the latitude with those guys. And so that explains a lot right there. Okay. So that's like, oh, what else we got? Okay. We got, Trunk or Treat.
Yeah.
That's not a credo thing, but it's a chapel thing. And we like to, support those guys. So 25 October is going to be from 1730 until 1900 at the NAS1 post office parking lot. That's just kind of our place of choice, isn't it?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So
that's where we all assemble.
If you're ever wondering about what's going on, it's going to be in the parking lot over here. So yeah, that's coming up. Trunk or Treat, 25 October, 1730 to 1900, NAS1 post office parking lot. And then what else have I got here? Oh, unit specific workshops. I got like 60, not six. I got 60 different modules that I could do. Stuff on suicide prevention, of course, but stuff on mindfulness, stuff on resiliency. I've got communication skills, relationship skills building, all kinds of classes. The Myers-Briggs type indicator, which is one of my favorites, and then the primary colors. So if you would like for me to come down to the unit and do some training, I'm more than happy to do that. And these run about 45 minutes to an hour.
You know what? Okay. That sounds really amazing. And what I want to do, especially during the break, is actually talk to you more about the mindfulness piece, because that is something of a personal interest of mine. It's always bringing myself right back into the present.
Excellent.
So for me, it's a little bit of a challenge, but I would definitely like to kind of discuss that a little bit more.
Well, guess what? That's what we're going to be talking about for the next 8 weeks.
I'm excited already. I love it. Make sure you continue to keep it here. We've got a lot more to cover when it comes to Credo when we return. And welcome back into the studio. We've got some more of the Morning Buzz here, and we've got Mr. Graves in the building with us. We've been talking about all things Credo, and now we're jumping into a topic that I am very interested in. We're talking about mindfulness, and as I shared with you, Mr. Graves, during the break, it's one of those things where you're having to kind of muster yourself, if you will, in the present, and that is hard for me, because even as I'm trying to practice mindfulness, my thoughts are going to, okay, what am I going to be eating for lunch? What's happening tonight? What's the next thing to do on my to-do list? The mind just goes everywhere. So can you tell us a little bit about mindfulness?
Certainly. And that's very common. That's normal. We call it butterfly brain in mindfulness because it's flitting. They're flitting all over. It's like, you know, just an explosion of butterflies.
Right,
and so you've got all these thoughts racing around in your head and everything. And what mindfulness does, it helps kind of calm all that down and get rid of a lot of the butterflies, where you can actually be down to just kind of following one butterfly around, and then maybe he'll stop and rest on a branch. And so you're just kind of focused on one thing, but it really helps focusing and bringing you into the present and realizing that, for one, we were talking about this during the break, that a lot of people are more focused on the past and things that happened. And so they tend to worry about things and that they can't do anything about now. And so what this does, it brings you more into the present, not into the future. I'm an intuitive. We've talked about that. Mm-hmm. So my focus is more on the future. And so, you know, what's going to happen, what's all this. But this is something that you learn, and it's practicing it every day. And it helps you be able to step away from all these other activities and all this other stuff you got going on. And so you tend to focus on, they call it a brief, and it can be as short as 3 breaths. Okay, you're sitting here in the office, and you have a moment to yourself, and just kind of focus on your breathing for 3 breaths, and you can already tell a difference, that you've kind of slowed yourself down and your mind is kind of slowed down. You've lost all this, you know, stuff that's going on. One of the biggest problems that people have when we're doing meditation, is if they're just getting started, is intrusive thoughts. You know, these things just bubble up all the time. We go back to the butterfly brain thing. And so you have all this stuff going on, and that's very hard to overcome. But what we do, we focus on the breathing, and it's so important, and counting your breath, because that gives your mind something to focus on. So you're training yourself not to focus on everything that's going on. Oh, it's a squirrel, you know, that kind of stuff. But really focus on, oh, it's a squirrel. Well, let's look at this squirrel. Mm. You know, what does the squirrel look like? Is he fuzzy? What color is he? What does the squirrel smell like? He smells like a squirrel. You know, and so, you know, you do those kind of things. And so you really look at everything from every possible viewpoint. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you observe things and you just learn to observe stuff and not react to it. Like, oh, you know, and this is the thing about, like, with Facebook, you've got so much this, I'll call it clickbait, you know, but things, mm-hmm. you look at it and man, it gets you stirred up. You know, oh, you get angry over that. And see, that's a conditioned response. And so this is actually something to use to combat that so that you don't get all excited about this stuff and get spun up, because that's what they want you to do, and start hitting likes and hates and all that kind of stuff. And this is more of being able to detach yourself and sit back and just observe it and accept things for what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to our squirrel. Oh, look, it's a squirrel. Mm-hmm. You know, and just being able to accept it as a squirrel, and it's going to do squirrel stuff out there. So what we're going to spend the next few weeks looking at is stuff taken from a book called A Walk in the Wood. Okay, and I got to apologize. I don't remember the author. I'll look it up for next time. And it's going to spend several weeks just looking at the process of mindfulness throughout your day. Okay, we're going to start like in the morning, first thing before you get out of bed. And then when we end up, we're going to end up with the sandwich. Mm-hmm. And so we'll, and you and I are both interested in food. And so, you know, we're both going to be waiting for the sandwich at the end.
I will say, I like the illustration of the butterfly. But then when you mentioned the sandwich, immediately now, I started practicing mindfulness in on that sandwich.
Oh, look at that sandwich. What does it, look.
Wait, what's in there?
What is in there?
Is there a spread to that sandwich, maybe? Some lettuce and tomato?
See, that's exactly what you do. You want to look at that sandwich and just observe everything about that. Oh, and I love the smell of the sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, on my way home every day, I go by this bakery, and sometimes they burn the bread. Oh my gosh.
That is not
and
okay.
It's not good. But sometimes it's perfectly done
and
it smells like heaven going up there. And so I look forward to those days. But yeah, that's kind of the thing. Just notice, you start noticing things about now, about things going on around you. And when we do the meditation, that's what we focus on up there on the mountain, is the sound of the wind. Okay, blowing, you know, wafting. I love that word, wafting through the trees. Uh-huh. And then, you know, the sounds of the branches, and then you got the wind. You feel the wind and all the currents and all that stuff. So when we come back, we'll actually get started on the first one here and how we start our morning. That's what we'll get cracking
with. This is
going
to be a good one. Honestly, I need to kind of take that into account, because I got to get my morning started a lot better than the way I do now. So make sure you continue to keep it here. We've got a lot more with Mr. Grayson when we return. You're listening to 105.9. And welcome back to the studio. If you are just joining us, or if you are capable of hearing what's going on in the studio, you know we've got Mr. Graves with us. Hello, Mr. Graves. So we're talking about the Credo programs. We have had the honor of listening to Mr. Graves talk to us about the importance of mindfulness. And now you mentioned something that really caught my attention before we went on break, which is how we start our day. And I've got to hear this one. How do we start our day? What's the best way to start our day?
Yeah, and it kind of sets the pace for the day.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of sharing with you, back during COVID, I had all the time in the world. Mm-hmm. And so I would get up in the morning and I would put my water on to make my hot tea. And just in the short time that it took for my tea to get ready, I would be practicing Tai Chi. And I would be doing, I had about 5 moves that I would do. Nothing elaborate, okay, but it was just something I could do. You do it with your breathing, and so you try to really want to focus everything on your breathing. And so you can start like with maybe 3 breaths, or and then work up to 5 breaths or 10. And so that's what I would do. I would do my motions, and I would do them like with 3 breaths, okay, and then I'd do a set of 10, then I'd move to the next, and then, you know, the next, until I had completed those. But it really kind of helps you set the pace for the day. And that's what we're looking at here, is how we start our morning. And one of the things that they suggest is that we develop a regular physical and mental routine every morning, okay, that we kind of go through the same stuff. One of the guys John Kabat-Zinn, who started this program, okay, out of the University of Massachusetts, I believe it was. And this is the one that the Navy bought into, okay, the Mind-Body Medicine program that's out of San Diego, and that's the one I was certified in. And so he came up with this thing, and so it was in an oncology ward. And so you had people that basically, you know, had no future. And so they were very depressed and a lot. And so they went in and started doing meditation with these people. And that really made a difference in them with their pain management and other things that were going on. And so it's all about developing a mindset that's going to be more conducive to health, okay? And so this thing, coming up with a pattern every day, and some people are pattern people, some are not pattern people. But if you can kind of come up with a way that you do things and kind of look at what's your routine first thing in the morning when your alarm goes off, what do you do? You know, what do you do after that? You know, I usually get up. Can I say go to the bathroom in here?
Sure.
Okay. You know, I do my toiletries.
Sure.
Okay. Then I go in and make my tea, and then my breakfast, and then, you know, I have kind of a routine set, and so that's very calming in itself. I know how the day is going to play out here. Before I go to bed at night, I actually decide what sounds good for breakfast, so I don't worry about that. I know what I want to eat in the morning. And that's another thing we'll come back to later, is how the importance of, before you go to sleep at night, go ahead and write out your day.
That's
for the next
one.
Day. Okay, have a pad by the bed and write out all the stuff you got to do the next day. And so that frees up your conscious mind so it doesn't worry about it. It's not laying there fidgeting and fretting over, oh my gosh, did I remember this? Did I forget that? Will I remember this? No, it's all written down. And
right.
So, and don't write War and Peace for crying out loud. You know, just, you know, a few things you got to do the next day. And then that frees up your conscious mind to relax. Now, see what's happening. Your subconscious is working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So that's still going on. You're not cutting the subconscious off. You're just kind of giving the conscious a chance to relax. And then the subconscious is humming. It's working on this stuff. And I don't know if you've ever done this before, but you got an issue, something that you're kind of concerned about. You sleep on it. You wake up in the morning and bam. You got it. You got the answer. And that's what's happening. Your subconscious is working on this stuff. And I'm just going to throw a little, we're sidetracking. We'll come back to this later. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've got a labyrinth over at the chapel out here. Mm-hmm. And so using the labyrinth, you know, you can go in and I usually go in and go so many steps and then I stop and then I do my breathing like 3 breaths or 5 breaths and then I go the next distance and stop. And so you work your way through it, and it takes about 20 minutes to go in and out over there. It depends on how long and how slow you're walking and stuff. But one of the things they talk about before you go into the labyrinth is focus on something, an issue or a problem that you want to solve, and then don't think about it. Just go in and do the breathing, focus on the breathing, and then by the time that you come out, your subconscious will probably have figured it out for you.
I do like that. I also love the fact that you made mention of writing it down, maybe having like a pen and a pad at the bed, right? So that you don't really, not that your subconscious isn't registering this information, but that you can just kind of make a note to yourself, really.
See, and that's what you're doing. It's kind of a fallback.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a fail-safe method that allows, because once you've written it down, you know it's written down. I'm not going to forget this.
That is
because
very true.
If you don't write it down, you're fretting and going, oh my gosh, am I going to remember to do this in the morning?
Indeed.
And so this gives you an opportunity to free your mind.
I like that.
And you're not worried about that stuff.
No, I love it. And I'm a huge believer in mindfulness. In practice, it's a little tough. But I'm definitely a huge believer in that. So make sure you continue to keep it here, because when we come back, we're going to talk about why mindfulness is important to the military community and why it should actually mean something to you. So make sure you keep it here. This is 105.9. And welcome back to the studio. If you are just joining us, we've had Mr. Graves, our Credo facilitator, here in the building. We have been talking about mindfulness, and now just kind of shifting, because we always have to ask the question, but can you tell us why is mindfulness, or why should mindfulness be important to our military community?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was talking about John Kabat-Zinn and the practice, you know, the mind-body medicine thing, and it was actually the Marines that got into this. They were looking at ways to help Marines after they returned home from deployments and stuff, and you know, my own experience with deployments, you come back and life is weird. You know, you're used to being in that environment, you know, for a year or whatever, and you come back here and you're just at a heightened state of alertness and awareness and all that, and you're used to everything being way different. And so it takes a while. It took me about 6 months to readjust after I got back. And so the Marines were looking at this, and so they decided to give this an opportunity. And so they were trying this out at 29 Palms. And so what they discovered is that by teaching them mindfulness and meditation techniques and things, they were able to assimilate a lot easier back into society. Okay. And when I was in seminary many years ago, I did a paper on post-traumatic stress disorder. And already back during Vietnam, Special Forces was looking at this because people would be on these long-range missions and stuff, and they'd be out by themselves, you know, for weeks at a time. And so they discovered that teaching these guys how to meditate helped them just out when they're by them, well, in a small team or whatever, but it really helped them when they were out in the boondocks, as they used to say back in the day. And so what I discovered, I wish we had had this when I was coming back, okay, with redeployment and stuff. I think it would have been very beneficial to a lot of my fellow soldiers, you know, that were coming back. But yeah, it puts you in a place where you can really relax, you can shut down like all the memories, all the thoughts. And like I said, you're operating at a higher tempo for a while. And so it helps you be able to lower that back down to a level you can handle,
a handiable
level.
okay.
Put that in the dictionary. But yeah, it really helps you come to terms with a lot of the intrusive thoughts and other things that you got going on. It helps you just to be in this moment and learning to be, well, there's nobody shooting at me right now. You know, my life is not in danger right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm back in a radio station, you know, in Sigonella right now. And so you start to look at reality, and grounding is one of the things that they talked about in psychology. It's important for people that are experiencing these kind of things that they're able to ground themselves in what is tangible, what's going on right now. And so that helps pull them back in from some of these things that they might be experiencing out
like
there.
That.
So I think that it has done. We've been doing this here for what, since about 4 or 5 years, I guess. Actually, we started before COVID. Yeah. And so you do the math on all that stuff. And we used to meet weekly over at Maranai.
Yeah.
And so we had classes over there. And very, very beneficial to people. But it really helps them come to terms with not being able to focus. And it really helps them be able to sit down and look at what's going on right now. So when we come back, we've gotten way off track.
We really have, and that's okay, because we're actually closing out the hour, but I wanted to say thank you so much, Mr. Graves, because mindfulness is one of the biggest things for me, partly because it is an ongoing challenge, but as you mentioned during the break, it's just a matter of maintaining that practice, right? And the more we do it, the better we get at it.
You do.
And so that is definitely necessary.
And it doesn't have to start off being like an hour meditation. You can start off, again, just 3 breaths.
Right. Just little bite size.
Just little bites.
Just take it a little bit at a time. So that I definitely like.
Get used to it and then move on.
Agreed upon. Now, before we head out and close out our hour, I know we, as always, we've got some shout ads to put out there. So who are we shouting at today?
All right, let's do these.
Let's do it.
Okay, so here we go. Chock full of nuts. We got Placido, Andrea. We got Roberta, Angela, Alberto, Gaetano, Lorenzo, Carletta, Erica, and Biagio. Then down at across the strata at the commissary, house there. We've got Esty and Sylvie and Joey and Vince and Helen and Katya, David, Nino, 1 and 2. We got Claudia, Salvo, Enzo, Josie. Yeah, that's right. Giacchino.
Giacchino. I love it.
Okay, Emanuela. We got Loredana. We got Milena. We got Luisa. We got Azura, Francesca, Maria, and Grazia over there.
Wow,
and
right.
Then at the pharmacy, we got Colin. We got Yvonne, Felix, Mitchell, Daniel, Justin, and Matthew. And then the library, we got April, Lucia, Amanda, Shatina, and Mike. Then out on the flight line, we have our superheroes out there. We have Mr. G and his sidekick, Kevin, who is not one of the minions. He's not really one of the minions. Okay, so if you're thinking that's him, no. And then we got our add-ons. We got John and Anthony out there. So that's our shout-outs for today.
Very nice. Shout-outs to everybody, including all of our listeners. Mr. Graves, I'd love to thank you for being here in the studio. And for those of you that are not practicing mindfulness, you are so missing out. Be sure you stay tuned for your news and sports and tune in this afternoon for the Afternoon Alibi with our very own DJ Fantel. Thank you for listening. This is 105.9, serving you America's best.